Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
All right, why don't you turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 4. It's exciting. Speaking of exciting, we live stream the service, so you can watch the service online. It's not as good as being here. But if you happen to be on an airplane at 36,000 feet, you can watch for service like Pastor Matt did this morning. I don't know if you saw the Facebook status update, but he watched church this morning, I would imagine on his cellular device, and so that's pretty cool. It's kind of fun. So I'm sure he's not watching this service. Or, hi, Pastor Matt! He did a wedding in Vegas, so he was down there, and he's on his way back, and it's pretty awesome. So that's kind of fun. All right, do you turn to John chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 21. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this service. I thank you for this opportunity to get to know your word, get to know you more, and see your face, Lord God. I pray that you would touch our lives through this. I pray that you would meet us where we're at in this, Lord God. And I pray we'd leave different than we came. In your holy name, amen. Amen. This morning's sermon's called, I Pledge Allegiance. I Pledge Allegiance. We're going to be talking about some worship today. So, you may have remembered John chapter 4 because we've been preaching through the book of John, but it was like 3 years ago. So, just in case you didn't remember it, I did post a sermon from that this week that Pastor Matt had preached before in the book of John, but it was a long time ago, so we can relive some of it today. John chapter 4, verse 21 says this, Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Let me set up this passage a little bit for you. So this is the story where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. She went there to draw some water. She was thirsty. He said, "I got water that'll last you forever." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" So they start this conversation. She's a little surprised that Jesus, who is a Jew, is talking to her, who is a Samaritan, because they don't like each other. Jews and Samaritans, they tend to fight. Samaritans, in part, were Gentiles or foreigners. They intermarried with the Jews. So the Samaritans had their own church, and they worshiped God differently. They only had the first five books of the Bible, the writings of Moses. They call it the Pentateuch. They had that, and then they disregard everything else. All the laws and the prophets are like, "We don't care about any of that. We just care about what Moses said." And so they combined their pagan idol worship with some books of the Bible, what they knew about God, and they combined it together, and they had their own little faith there. And so they had their temple up on the mountain. And that's where they say, no, because there was a special place in the Old Testament, this on this mountain where this thing happened. That's where they planted their church, their temple, and they said, "You can only worship here. This is the holy place. This is the best place." And the Jews are like, "No, a whole lot has happened since Moses. You need to get up to speed, and you guys are wrong with your idol worship, and we worship in Jerusalem. We have our own temple in Jerusalem. You have to worship here because this is what's going on." And they're like, "No, you have to worship up on the mountain." And so She's confronting Jesus with that. She's saying, like, "Hey, why do you Jews say you got to worship in Jerusalem? We like to worship up in our temple." And Jesus is saying, "Listen, it doesn't matter where you worship. It matters how you worship." So Pastor Matt preached a sermon a couple of years ago where he said Jesus had to go through Samaria. And what's interesting about that is John chapter 4, verse 4. What was interesting about it is that you don't have to go through Samaria to get where you're going. You can go around it. And that's what the Jews typically did. They didn't like Samaritans. They don't want to talk to them. So they go all the way around it a different way. But the Bible says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. So why did he have to go through Samaria? Not because it was the easiest way, but because those people need to know the message of salvation too. He needed to bring them the message of repentance and salvation, just like he needed to bring it to the Jews. Amen? So he had to go there. It's important. So that's where we start off the story here, is that that Jesus is saying, it's not where you worship that's important. In the future, which is now, the time is now, that it's important how you worship. So first let's talk about what is worship. Okay, let's talk about what is worship, because that word gets thrown around a lot, and there's a lot of different ideas about how that looks. But let me give you a good definition of worship. Worship is reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. Or it could be to an idol, because sometimes they worship idols. Or it's to regard with great respect and honor. Reverent devotion, allegiance pledged to God or an idol, great respect and honor. That's what it means to worship. Now Jesus is saying, where is it important? He's saying true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So what does that look like? What does that mean? So let's talk about worship in spirit. And worshiping in the spirit with your whole heart engaged. It's not just about what it looks like. It's not about just how you're dressed or how you're standing. It's about the heart condition behind it. And so when you talk about worship in the spirit, you're talking about worshiping from the inside out. You're not talking about, so like I like to stand in front so I don't get distracted, but I can do whatever I want because I'm basically by myself up here. That's the benefit of the front row. So don't go stealing the front row now. I'm up here for a reason. But it's worshiping from the inside out, spirit with the spirit. Now Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Okay, this may get a little confusing, and we can talk about it another time, but Jesus is God, God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. There's three in one. It's the Trinity. It's all together. It's hard to explain, but it just is the way it is. It's kind of like raising children and finances. Like everybody sits down and says, I can't afford to have kids yet, but when we get our finances, we'll have kids. Listen, you can never afford to have kids. The math never works on paper. You just have them and somehow you pay for them and then they're just there. And then one day they're not there anymore. You can't save for it. You can't plan for it. You don't have enough in the checkbook, but somehow they still eat and somehow they still have clothes and activities, fees and everything else. You can't afford kids. It doesn't make good sense on paper, but somehow we have them. It's the same thing. You got the Father, the Son, the Spirit, all in one. It's the Trinity. You just have to accept it. It's just reality. Okay? So Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So when we say worship in the Spirit, you worship using the Holy Spirit's power and leading. John 14:17 says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. When John was writing this, Jesus was with them now. This is the later. He's in us now. Amen? The Holy Spirit inside of us so we can worship God. That's worshiping in spirit, worshiping with Jesus inside of you and the Holy Spirit. Now, worshiping in truth. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the Spirit, and Jesus also is the truth, and the only way to have a connection with the Holy God. So don't just go through the motions and copying what everybody else is doing. You have to mentally engage with the truth of Jesus, His salvation for you, and what a big deal that is. So to have true worship, to worship the way Jesus is telling the Samaritan woman in spirit and in truth, the way we should worship, you have to have Jesus inside of you. You have to get saved. You have to understand the magnitude of God sending His Son Jesus to be on earth as a man, to live a perfect life, to die and rise again so you can be forgiven of your sins. So you can have redemption and relationship with God. Sinful man, holy God, connected by Jesus. It all begins and ends with Jesus in worship. That's the connection. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to get to know Him. You need to recognize His saving grace in your life. You need to repent of the sins of your life and recognize your need for a Savior and move towards Him in worship, amen, in spirit and in truth. That's what worship is, and that's what worship means, amen. Worshiping a holy God begins and ends with Jesus. He gives us this ability. It's the Spirit inside of us. He's our connection to the Father. It's super important to understand that and what a big deal that is and how impactful that is. That act 2,000 years ago changed time forever. Changed time forever and changed your life forever and your trajectory, amen? So here's the idea too. Who are we worshiping? When he talks about worship, who are we worshiping? Now remember, worship, reverent devotion and pledged allegiance. This is the definition of worship. So what's interesting is our culture likes to prop up idols for us to worship all the time based on perceived value. Perceived value. This jacket is pretty nice, right? Somebody might want to pay $50 for this jacket, but not me, because I don't perceive that its value to be that. When I went to the mall, I looked through all the racks to find out what was on the biggest sale, and this jacket was $8. And I was like, yeah, I bought two of them. I bought one for Dan, too. But he's too, you know, to wear it, so. But I can wear more. I'm just saying, it's true. But we prop things up based on perceived value. If it seems important and it seems expensive, if the price tag is high, we think it's more valuable. Like, you could go buy a Bentley and drive it around and be like, this car's worth like $150,000. Look how valuable it is. It drives so nice. And I say, no, that's not a Bentley. It's a Chrysler 300. It's got the wrap kit on it. Is this a Chrysler? Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that moment where you looked at a car and you're like, that car looks really nice. Oh, it's a Hyundai. Perceived value. If it was a Lexus, you'd be like, man, I wish I had a Lexus. Must be nice. It's a Kia? You can keep your Kia. It's perceived value, right? But the society props this up in front of us. You look at like actors and athletes and music artists. We tend to like value and worship what they say. You have an actor who played the president in a movie one time speaking about some charity, and we're like, we got to listen to what he says. He played the president one time. Listen, he was in a movie where he was the most powerful man in the United States. What he says must have value. Plus, he's rich. I was watching this interview. There's this rapper named Tyga. No R. It's just T-I-G-A. And he wrote this song. And it was funny because the guy was interviewing him. He was talking about this song. And he was like, hey, tell me about this song. Everybody loves this song. It's so awesome. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. We were just messing around. Took like 10 minutes. We were just trying something out. I guess people liked it. Messing around, probably, you know, with a little sound machine, and next thing you know, there's a hit song's making millions of dollars, and they show this part in the interview where people are coming to get his autograph, and this gal's coming over, and she's like, he's like, okay, it's all right, let it out. He's just a guy. He took 10 minutes out of his life to write a song, and she's like in awe of him. It's your signature on the piece of paper because you did a song once. That's what our culture does. We all fall for it sometimes. Romans 1:25. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worship and serve the things that God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen? We have this habit of worshiping these things that God has created. Now, Tyga can make some good music, and he's blessed with that ability. Now, he may not be using it for God, but God created a good thing that he should be using for God, right? He's got special giftings. But then we value that, and we worship that, rather than worshiping the Creator who created all good things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. So, my dear friends, flee from worship of idols. That means don't let it sneak into your life. Don't let those things that are created become more valuable than the Creator and give us more honor and praise than we give the Creator, amen? Because who we should be worshiping is God, the Heavenly Father, the creator of all things. He's all powerful, all knowing. He sent his son to die a criminal's death on the cross so that we could have salvation and eternal life. This is a really big deal. It's kind of important. It's kind of probably the most important thing in our lives, or it should be. It's a really big deal. Jesus laid his life down so that we could have an opportunity for salvation, for eternal life. That's a really big deal. It's bigger than a song. Got to put it in perspective. He's earned our devotion and allegiance. He's earned our worship. Psalms 95 verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He's worthy to be praised, amen? He's valuable. Now, my next question is this. How are we worshiping? We know what worship is. We know who we should be worshiping. But how are we worshiping? What does it look like? Psalms chapter 5, verse 7. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter into your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. Awesome. Crystal preached on Wednesday. She said that she doesn't like the word awesome because we just throw it around willy-nilly. And awesome, when something is awesome, it's like they are ensuing awe out of us. We're in awe of it. It's awesome. I guess it gets some awe. Maybe that's the root word. It's awesome. But God is awe-inspiring, and we need to recognize how awesome he is. But remember, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he said it's not where you worship, but how you worship that's important. Before we were part of planning Faith and Victory 12 years ago, we used to go to Puyallup Foursquare in Puyallup. Now it's just called Foursquare, so if you're going to Google it, it's just Foursquare. But back then, there was only like 1,000 people who went to that church instead of now. And so they didn't have multiple campuses. They just had one and about 1,000 people. And so we used to go to that church all the time, and they had multiple services. And so, and I'll speak for myself. I don't want to throw anybody else under the bus, but we used to sneak in on a Saturday, and you just kind of sneak into the back. And so they had many sections because it was a big sanctuary. And so like maybe this is like one section. And so you would always sit in the same section. That's how people do it. I don't know, not you guys. I see you guys probably mix it up all the time. But most people come in and sit in the same seat every time. And so we come in and we sit in our section every time. And if you ever try to sit in a different section, people go, oh, are you new? Is this your first time? You'd be like, no, man, I've been since we were at the schoolhouse, you know, because they used to be in the school too when they were little. And so we used to go there, and they had great worship. Big LED screen, rock band, super polished. They don't even use music stands because they just got it all memorized. They're just that good. Good preaching, good Bible believing. It is an awesome church. They love Jesus there. They preach the word. They worship hard. It's just awesome. And it's so awesome that it's like I didn't even need me. I could just stand there and not participate, and no one even noticed. You couldn't hear if I was singing anyway, because it was just so, just everybody's out there doing it. And so, and then I would look in the front, and you could see the people way down in the front. They're raising their hands. They're worshiping down there. Me back here in the back, I'm just trying not to spill my coffee. But then you go from a scene like that. This is a great church. You go from a church like that to Planting Faith and Victory, and you only got like 10 people. Then all of a sudden, you realize the value of worship. And that if you're just standing there not doing anything, not engaged, nothing's happening. It's just Pastor Matt on a keyboard waiting for somebody to join in. And so all of a sudden you go from just watching worship happen to having to participate in it and learn how to just engage with the Father and engage in worship and really hear the words and hear yourself singing the words and what's really happening. And I remember telling Pastor Matt way back in the day, it was like that song, The Heart of Worship. You know, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, you know, longing just to be, just give something that's of worth, that'll bless your heart. This is the heart of worship. It's not all the LED screens. It's not the fancy music or the drum shield. It's not the lights or the visuals. It's just the heart of worship. It's you engaging with God, worshiping his greatness. Now, it doesn't matter what temple you do that in. You can do that in a temple with 1,000 other people and an awesome LED screen and big booming speakers, or you can do that in a corrugated tin shelter in Nigeria. Because it's the heart of worship, not where you're worshiping, but how you're worshiping and how you're engaging in it. audience of one, amen? You have to engage to grow in that. You can't sit back and expect to grow if you're not going to engage in worship to a holy God. Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as living sacrifice. This is truly the way to worship God. What does that mean? Worshiping with yourselves. Worshiping with your bodies. You worship God by how you live your life. Not just in the assembly, but all over the place, right? You worship God with how you live your life. And the choices you make. I was thinking that this is Memorial Day weekend. And so there's a lot of people who don't understand it as anything more than just a day that the mail doesn't come and an extra day off. It's the first camping weekend of the season because you finally get a day off that you didn't have to, you know, call in sick for. But what we understand is that Memorial Day is the time where we take a day to just stop what we're doing and recognize the sacrifice that many, many soldiers and Marines and service members died so that you could have freedom in this country. They died for it. Veterans Day is when you celebrate people who are currently living and who were veterans. Memorial Day is when you recognize the people who died. And tomorrow there's going to be ceremonies all over the place, all over the cemeteries. There's little flags. It's a big deal. It's important. They laid their lives down for us. We don't even know most of them. You don't know them, they didn't know you, but they made a huge sacrifice for your benefit. And that's what we celebrate, the freedom. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We all learned this, we grew up, you stand up, you put your hand on your heart, you know, you take off your hat. Everybody knows what to do. When I was a kid, you used to do it all the time. You used to do it every day in school, you used to do it at assemblies. And I remember this one time, it was between fourth and sixth grade. And I remember we were at this assembly and we all stood up to do the Pledge of Allegiance and we all stood there and everybody has it memorized. You all say it at the same time. It's a big deal. It's important to recognize the country. And there was this kid over here and he had a hat on. And I remember this teacher. Oh, I just remembered his name, but I won't tell it. I won't tell you his name, but I just remembered it. I kind of see out of the corner of my eye, he just comes flying over the seats, pushing kids out of the way, and snatches the hat off this kid's head who still had a hat on. He's like, it's a big deal, you better take your hat off, this is the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, what he didn't know is the kid had alopecia, so all his hair was falling out. And so he was embarrassed, you know, he's a kid, he looks different, you know, kids, it's rough. So he had a hat on, perfectly good reason to keep your hat on. But this teacher didn't know it, and he just went crazy about it. And he was going to do something about the irreverence he saw in this child. And that's how we get, is it not? Imagine going to a service tomorrow for Memorial Day and showing up late. Show up late, everybody's already getting started, and you're just kind of, excuse me, it's fine, you know. And so then they're about ready to do the 21 gun salute, but you haven't seen somebody for a while, so you're just like, oh yeah. And then this weekend, it's like, just like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm just going to talk through this. They're trying to honor the fallen soldiers, but I'll talk through it. Imagine getting up in the middle of the service and going and getting some water or going to the bathroom. And the thing's only going to be like 30 minutes, but you just can't wait. You need some water right now. So we'll just get up and walk out, walk back in. Could you imagine that? It'd be disrespectful and shocking, wouldn't it? Imagine if you were serving in the ceremony. And you were joking through the processional, just joking with your buddy, because you guys have been doing this all day. It's like, it's fine. You know, it's kind of jokes. Maybe you're not dressed in the right uniform. You forgot your hat. Everybody's got their hat on. And you're like, ah, whatever. You know, it's just another Memorial Day. We do it every year. Imagine you're updating your Facebook status, because you already saw the first service, so you're fine. You did your part. You're just going to sit back here. And imagine your cell phone rings right in the middle of taps. Dun, 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 bling, bling. Just a second. Kind of makes your blood boil to imagine it, doesn't it? You guys are all silent. You're probably all like. the complacency, the disrespect. But sometimes this is how we act at the ceremony remembering when Jesus died for our spiritual freedom. Be a living sacrifice. Worship Him at church. You know what you can do? You can prepare your heart in advance for the worship service. You know what's going to happen every Wednesday and every Sunday? You can get up an hour early and you could go get a cup of coffee and just take a deep breath and just cleanse your mind of what happened that week. And just maybe read a scripture, one of the Psalms, say some prayers and just kind of prepare your heart that you're going to go worship the Lord. You could show up a little bit early. You know the best part about showing up early? The worship team's practicing. The worship team's practicing. And so you get your own private little worship session. It's not like you're going to show up and walk in and they're going to be like, no, closed session, practicing. You seriously, and I've done it, you could just come right up to the front row and just worship all by yourself. Because they're worshiping up there. They're practicing worship. They're not just playing songs. They're practicing worship. It's the best thing ever. You could show up on time for the service. You could be in the sanctuary ready to go. I mean, if we were having a ceremony for worshiping the holy Jesus who laid his life down for us so that we could live, we might want to show up on time and be in service ready to worship him. You can really focus in and reflect on what you're doing and how important it is. I think sometimes we can get complacent because it happens every week, twice a week. But I think we need to recognize what we're really doing there. And that will help us enter in to worshiping in spirit and in truth. You know, we have two services on Sunday, so you could serve at one and worship at the other one. We went to two services before we had enough people to go to two services. We had to get like 20 people to commit to go to both services for like a whole year, just so one wouldn't be empty. And we did that for a long time, and then pretty soon we didn't have to do it anymore because they both filled up. I think first service might have been bigger than second service today even. So we don't need to do that anymore. But it works out perfectly so you can go to one and worship God and focus on Him and His goodness and free your mind of distractions. That's why I like to sit in the front row, because I come up in the front row and I just enter in and I don't pay attention to what's going on around me. I don't pay attention to who came in late. I don't pay attention to what's going on the soundboard. I don't pay attention to when somebody's phone rings. I can just be here and I can just worship God free of distractions. So don't steal my seat, because I like it. Maybe we put all the seats in the front row so we can all do that. But I remember I used to stand in the back. And so then when I used to work every service, I would stand in the back. And then when people came in late, I would try to greet them. When people were distracted or dropped something, I was like, what are they doing? I started counting people. Oh, who's not here today? And pretty soon I was so distracted by doing a worship service that I wasn't actually worshiping in the service. Don't mix up serving God and worshiping God. They're not the same things. Now, serving God is important. And in a sense, it's an act of worship to a holy God, but it can't replace worship. If you're not in worship, worshiping the Lord, you're going to run dry. And you'll run out of, your tank will run dry and you won't be able to serve anymore. And you'll just burn out. So you notice we have a Wednesday night service every single week. And guess what? Pastor Matt, he works on Sundays. So guess what? He gets to come on Wednesdays. He doesn't have to worry about the preaching. He doesn't have to worry who's going to open service. He doesn't have to worry about who's going to do worship. He gets to just come here and worship the Lord and hear from his word and get refreshed every single week. So he doesn't burn out either. You must enter in and focus in on the Lord in spirit and in truth, not worried about what's going on around you. Amen? That's why we have two services. So verse 23, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So what should our response be to this? What should our response be to what Jesus is saying right now in the scriptures? I look at the Samaritan woman at the well who's talking with Jesus. So she's at the well and she's talking with Jesus. And she knows from the scriptures that the Savior will come and reveal the truth. She's looking for him. She says to him, oh, I know when the Messiah comes, he's going to reveal all truth. So she's waiting for the Messiah to show up. So Jesus tells her, I am the Messiah. The one you've been waiting for, the one you read about in the scriptures, the one that you believe in, I'm him, I'm here now. So what does she say? Well, you should have come to our temple and said that, because I only believe what comes out of our temple. No, she didn't say, well, you don't look like the guy I was expecting. I was expecting robes and swords. No, she goes, that's who I've been looking for. She runs into the village, into the town, and she tells everybody she knows that Jesus is there, and many are saved because of her testimony. They believe because of her. She's looking for the Savior. She found him in this place, and she went and told everybody about it. And then, still more of them came back to the place so they could meet Jesus for themselves and believe and be saved as well. You can meet Jesus in this place. You can meet Jesus in this place. He can change your life, and you can go out to the village, and your testimony can draw other people into Jesus Christ. You can do that today. That's what your response can be. Worship begins and ends with understanding and accepting the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So why don't you bow your heads with me this morning? Amen. So bow your heads with me. Understand this morning, that the only reason that we are here is because of Jesus. It's because Jesus is the Savior. He's God's Son, and He's God, and He's the Holy Spirit. He came, He died, He lived again so we could have new life, so we could be born again. If we would just repent of our sins, which means ask for forgiveness and turn away from them and follow Jesus, we can have eternal life with Him. He came to create that bridge between a holy God and a sinful people. And for the believer, He dwells inside of you. So if you want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, you need to have Jesus dwelling inside of you. Because we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because this is the place for it. You can meet Him here. You can hear His truth here. Understand this morning that Jesus Christ is saying, I am your Messiah. I am your Savior. Repent of your sins and follow me. So if you want to do that this morning, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior and you want to make Him your Lord and Savior this morning and He's calling out to you, then I want you just to raise your hand at me and just give me a little wink. Amen. Amen. This is your moment. Now, maybe you're in here and maybe you've just grown a little bit complacent with the idea of worshiping God, that you know Him as your Lord and your Savior, but you just got a little forgetful about the impact and what that really means. So if that's you this morning, I want you just to take a minute to ask for forgiveness from God and say, God, I'm sorry that I forgot about your goodness. I'm sorry that I made things of this world more important and more reverent than I made your holiness and your saving grace. Please forgive me of that. As we go from this place this morning, I want you to remember that we worship God with the way we live. We worship God in the community. And we worship God here in the church. And we worship Him by focusing in on Him and worshiping Him in spirit by His spirit and in truth by His truth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much this morning. I praise your holy name. You are a righteous God, and we love you so much. We just want to worship you in this place, Lord God. And as we go throughout this week, I pray, Lord God, that we go out and that we would share our testimony with other people so that they might want to come in and worship you. And when we show up on Saturday at 6 p.m., we show up with on time, with a reverence, with understanding the magnitude of the ceremony of coming together before a holy God in His throne room and worshiping His goodness. We just pray this in your holy name, Lord.
Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.